upon our brother Jamie for words of exhortation. Brother Jamie.
Morning, brothers and sisters and young people. Although I picked the hymns, I didn't realize until we were just singing that, basically sums up my exhortation beautifully. Life is tough. It's even tougher if you're stupid. A little bit harsh, but true nonetheless. Now, the definition for stupid is unintelligent, ignorant, dim-witted, also foolish. So to soften the blow, we will use foolish instead. Life is tough. It's even tougher if you're foolish. I saw this quote while watching a program called Scared Straight. This has been going on for some 30 years, where they take troubled kids who are breaking the law to prison to show them what lies ahead for their lives. Now, the really interesting thing about these young people is that they feel that no one can tell them what to do. Not their parents, their teachers, not even the police. Only they themselves choose what they are going to do and when. It's a very self-centered and selfish attitude, which also comes with the idea that if they see something that they want, they just simply take it. And that's that. Another really interesting thing about these young people is that they become the center of their own world. Me, 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 I. And as this continues on, people around them fall into place. The bad child is talked about and focused on more than what they actually deserve. They actually become the center focus. A very humanistic view and ideal. I am my own person. It's my body. I can do what I want with it when I want. But that's not the way that things actually work, especially if you want to follow God's ways. This Scared Straight program has great success by turning young people's lives around by showing them that they do have to do what people of authority say and have to obey rules and regulations if you want to be free in this world. But not all listen, and some continue on and end up in jail, only then to regret their actions. Amazing thing is that you don't have to be a bad child who breaks the law to have this sort of attitude. The attitude that you are more important than others. Many people have this attitude. And it isn't necessarily born into you as a bad seed, so to speak, but usually is a learned mindset that the world and most, for the most part, does promote. But again, only to a certain point. For example, if you are rich and famous, such as a movie star or a pop star, you as well as others will feel that you are allowed to get away with certain things than the average person. And the focus on self first is but a childish and selfish attitude. And this has made me look at 1 Corinthians 13:11 a little bit differently. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Think for a moment of a small child. I want, I need, the famous no, stomping of the feet, Mom, 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 dad, 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 the repetitive begging. That's a very childish thing. How many adults act that way? How many teenagers act that way? I'd venture to say a few more than adults. Because as we mature, we realize, hopefully, that our wants and needs don't come first. As a child, if you're told to do a chore and don't want to, no matter how mad your parents get, you don't do it and you think you've won. But as an adult, if your boss tells you to do a chore, even if you don't want to, you have to, because that's your job. And when you marry someone, you cannot always put your wants, needs, and desires ahead of your spouse's. Not if you want to have a happy marriage anyway. And then you add children into it, and your wants and needs get pushed back even further. A very common saying that I hear quite a bit going into people's homes: my wants, my hobbies got put on the back burner until the kids were grown. We evolve. And what happens, though, if we don't do that? We're not going to have a happy marriage. We're not going to have happy children. And what happens if we put our wants, our needs, and our desires ahead of God's? Again, not all people feel that way. So where am I going with this? Let's look at Solomon. God granted him wisdom above any before and any after. But he still turned out to be so foolish, didn't he? 1 Kings chapter 3. beginning in verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered and counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked of this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall there be any like arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall be no one like you among the kings all your days. He started out so humble, so aware of his job before God. Unfortunately, it did not last. And the things that he committed, he knew. He was aware. He had great knowledge. And he knew Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning at verse 14. When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and possess it, and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are around me, you shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren. You shall set as king over you, and you may not set a foreigner over you who is not of your brother. But he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. Solomon knew what God wanted. He knew what God commanded. But he became puffed up and proud and searched beyond God for his happiness. The God who gave him everything to begin with. Back in 1 Kings chapter 10. First Kings chapter 10, beginning in verse 21. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. For the king had merchant ships at sea with a fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules, at a set rate year by year. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He held 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver as common as in Jerusalem as stones. And he made cedar trees as abundant as sycamores, which are in the lowland. Also, Solomon had horses imported from Egypt and Kiva, and the king's merchants brought them in Kiva at the current price, Now, a chariot that was imported from Egypt cost 600 shekels of silver, and a horse 150. And thus, through their agents, they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria. But Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Sidonians and the Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn your hearts away after their gods. And Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. And so it was when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord God as the heart of his father David. He was slowly pulled away, seduced over time. One wife was not good enough, nor was two, three, four, to the point of 700 wives plus his concubines. He was swayed by their beliefs to worship their gods and their idols. His heart was turned away from God, a very humanistic attitude. You can't tell me what to do, and if there's no immediate consequences, then why stop? But he still went after other gods. He still had people telling him what to do and how to act. They just weren't people of God. He chose to be pulled away from the things of God. To do what? To worship other gods. People feel that they shouldn't be told what to do. No one can tell me what to do. But it's not just that. People will be told by other people. You can do whatever you want. It's your body. It's your life. You don't have to allow other people to tell you what to do. You should do what you want when you want. Now, come on, let's go do this. Right? Not seeing that that person is telling you what to do. Right? Solomon's wives told him what to do. They told him what gods to believe in, what idols to worship to. He was still being told. It's truly amazing that when people who don't believe in God still search for a leader, an educator, a guide, searching for something, even if it is just validation for their own actions. An atheist will often quote other atheists, usually by saying their name, followed by one of the leading atheists in the country. They're putting people up. They're revering other people. And people will take what they have to say as truth if it follows what's in their own heart and disregard anything else. But even though Solomon was pulled away, he did great and wonderful things. He saw the faults in mankind, including his own. And Proverbs is an amazing book. Spend a little bit of time there now. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. I'll continue on. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For God gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. From out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Let her feet go down to death. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Chapter 6, game beginning at verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? Warns of the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. But this is not just warnings to men. It's also to women as well. Do not turn to the left. Do not turn to the right. Stay focused on God and his kingdom, and he will guide you there. But if you look to the left, if you look to the right, and are tempted, you will be seduced and you will be pulled away from God. Again, the world's ways are humanistic and troublesome. And if we get lured and swayed and tempted, we let our guard down, we will be pulled away. We will be tempted, and we will turn our hearts against God. Life is tough. It's even tougher when you're foolish. Why do we listen to people of the world who make our lives actually harder? If you're a married couple and you always discuss big financial purchases before you do them, are you going to allow your friend, your coworker, to convince you that it's your money, it's your life, it's your choice, and go out and buy a brand new car and arrive at home with it without your spouse knowing? How is that conversation going to go? It's not. But that's the humanistic version of the way our life should be. You don't have to listen to anyone. But we do. Selfishness gets us nowhere. And that attitude will always come back to bite us. Putting others first will bring us happiness and an easier life. Lord, when did we feed thee? When did we clothe thee? When did we visit thee? When you did it to one of these, my brethren, one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it unto me. We are told to do this, not to seek for our own self-pride, our own selfish wants. But it does happen. It's a slippery slope. And it takes time. The world views, which I hear very often, it's no big deal. Everybody does it. That's just old-fashioned. We don't have to follow that anymore. That was for then. This is now. It's just an example. It's not law. But that isn't true. We need to keep ourselves in check, not with our own judgments, but with God's judgments. Again, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 to 27. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let your ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left, and remove your foot from evil. We must always be aware of these subtle pulls to the world. We will be judged. And we are told to examine ourselves before partaking of this bread and wine. To examine ourselves to make sure that we are worthy. That we are not guilty of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Life is tough, but it's even tougher if you're foolish.